Welcome back to the Sunday Morning Playground, Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket, online, WTK.com. 11:36 on your Sunday, about an hour away from Westwood One coverage of doubleheader football. Don't know who the hell is playing.
Just one game.
Just one game?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes Westwood One does, they do two, you know, the doubleheader, they do two sets of games, one at 1, one at, you know, 3:34.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't, and then they do Sunday night. I don't know. Since I'm doing it, I mean, I've lucked out both times. They're just doing the one, so.
Well, just like I told Jenny, appreciate that informative information, Jacob.
Mm-hmm,
appreciate that. Fantasy update for anyone that is of caring or anything. Leonard Fournette is out for today's game against the Bengals because of an infraction of team rules. Ooh. So it's not an injury. It's infraction of team rules.
Did he miss the plane? Is it played at home or away?
It is. I believe it's at the Bengals today. I could be mistaken.
Yeah, he missed the plane or whatever, and yeah, that's odd. Very odd to see that happen, but that's not good.
No, actually, it's not. It's at Jacksonville at Everbank Field.
He didn't miss the plane then.
Must have been a practice thing, possibly, that he missed practice. Not a game. We're talking practice. The other thing to kind of...
It's not a game.
We're talking practice.
Talking about practice.
Now, Anthony, you told me that someone called up. They wanted to know about the two-point conversion stuff.
Yeah, we got Bill. Shout out to you, Bill. Thanks for calling in. He wanted to know why Michigan called a timeout and seemed like they were going to go for two there. He wanted to know your thoughts on that.
Okay, guys. Babbitt, I'll let you start.
I mean, I think I speak for most people when we say we don't really know. I mean, I know doing the game yesterday, Brandy and Dan Dudorf, they really had no idea either. They didn't mention anything about it during the post game when I was listening in. So I'm not sure if they were just kind of working on something, working on a particular play or what. But yeah, I couldn't tell you. I mean, it's a 33-7 game. I mean, unless Jim Harbaugh's trying to run up the score, but I don't see that. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah, so late in the game too. That was what was kind of weird. I don't know. I mean, I could only think of two things. One would be they just want practice running a 2-point conversion play. Again, I don't know why they would really need to do that. The only other thing I could think of was that I feel like last season maybe Jim Harbaugh mentioned something about like using a situational chart, like kind of like from the NFL. So like that was the only other thing I could think. Mm-hmm. Is like, well, in this situation, the chart says to do this, so we do this kind of. But again, so late in the game, it really wasn't going to make a difference if they got the 2-point conversion or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're trying to make it, you know, they kick a field goal, they could win the game kind of situation here. Obviously, they kick a field goal late, and all it did was just make it a 23-point victory. I honestly have no idea. I'm assuming that we'll find out more tomorrow during the Jim Harbaugh presser, which you can hear on some show called The M Zone from 3 to 6, not The M Den from 3 to 5. So that's that. We'll find out more tomorrow when Jim has his media availability with the media tomorrow. So there's that. Just took a look at the contact that knocked the Notre Dame Fighting Irish running back out of the game, and this one came from Barstool Sports. And basically, the comment that came with is you can see his brain cells escaping his skull. I'm assuming because there was rain, that's why you saw like a whole bunch of like dew or the moisture from the air just flying off his helmet. It did not look pretty. I just retweeted it. You can take a look at my Twitter at the Miz on Air. Jay-Z is trying to spit hot lava, I think, on the M Zone on the playground Twitter feed. Am I correct?
Nope.
Okay.
Fair enough. It's still 0-0 right now. Field hockey versus Penn State. They moved the game up a little bit because of the weather, but still, mm-hmm. Last I saw. 0-0. And also, Jeremy Hill inactive for the Cincinnati Bengals, and Crowder out for the Redskins.
Well, there you go. There's your fantasy update in case you needed someone to do anything.
I got one.
Okay.
Broncos wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, in parentheses ankle, is expected to play today against the Eagles.
There you go. I don't think
if
that's
you gonna, have Emmanuel Sanders.
I don't think that's really going to mean all that much, considering the fact that you got Brock Osweiler starting at quarterback for the Broncos.
Yeah, he can't throw it that far.
Yeah, I mean, Brock Osweiler is getting money from Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken, right now.
And Zach Ertz is out for the Eagles.
Ooh,
there you go. So if you have those, you got to start moving your guys around.
That's a big one for mm-hmm. Philly. I mean, considering that Zach Ertz has been one of the big targets for Carson Wentz this season. Granted, he's still got quite a few great receivers and backs. JJ, I think, will make his debut today or, you know, this weekend for the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken, after that trade with Miami where Miami just got a bag of footballs.
Yeah.
That was one thing that Sam Webb mentioned Wednesday morning after the trade went down. Like, how the hell do the Eagles get Jay Ajayi for only a fourth-round draft pick? And yet you've got...
Sam Webb, the great Sam Webb.
That's what I've heard, that he's the great Sam Webb. And the Dolphins give up Jay Ajayi for a fourth-round draft pick. You see all these other trades at the deadline that went down and the ones that didn't go down.
Right, because they noticed what was happening.
Hi, Cleveland Browns, how you doing? But you had like Kelvin Benjamin, who got traded from the Panthers to the Bills for a couple of draft picks. To me, I thought that would have benefited Tyrod Taylor, but obviously Benjamin did not suit up in the game on Thursday night against the Jets, Jets. Fantasy football has just kind of been a weird situation if you end up playing it. If not, I mean, that's perfectly fine. That's on you. I don't mind. You keep doing you, boo-boo. But it's just one of those things where things have been weird, especially when you had Deshaun Watson, where it sounds like a lot of reports were coming out that the knee injury started out in the game last week against the Seahawks, actually, that it finalized that injury during that non-contact practice where he tore his ACL.
That's not what I heard.
Tell me what you heard.
That it just was a plain play at practice and things happen.
What?!
As far as college football, get back to that for a second.
Yeah, let's head
so
back to
overs
that.
And unders for wins so far this season. Only four teams have got to that over part. Michigan State, which I never thought would get plus 6.5 wins. It's a plus 160 in Vegas before the season. Obviously can't do that now. They've already reached past that. Purdue was only 2.5. Yes, Purdue was only 2.5 to start the season.
Wow.
But, you know, they got some of those wins. Missouri, Minnesota. Beating Rutgers like they were supposed to, and then Illinois. And then they have at Northwestern, at Iowa, and then Indiana to finish it. But they're already over that 2.5. Rutgers was over 3. There you go. That's your big upset.
Yeah.
Rutgers gets there. And then Maryland was only 3.5, which is, you know, I think Durkin's second year, I think a lot of people thought. But obviously the win to beat Texas was to start the season, and then lost to UCF because they're undefeated. Beat Minnesota, and then you went ahead and got the Rutgers as well. So,
yeah, they're 4-5 now.
Yeah, so they beat those. Everyone else, Michigan was over 9. More likely, that was the favorite to have over 9 wins for Michigan. That was a minus 175. For Minnesota, it was 7.5, and I really thought they could do that in the first 7 games. Was I wrong? But that's all right. You know, I was my surprise team. I wasn't rowing the boat totally with them. I was just in the back hoping that, hey, maybe by that time they get to Michigan, it'd be undefeated versus undefeated. It didn't happen that way because as Michigan was my surprise team in the East. Nebraska was a 7, but they over 7 was minus 125. Under 7 was minus 105. So really, it was right around that for both Vegas odds. Nebraska's still trying to get there. Ohio State was 10.5. They can't get there, right? Three games?
No,
they can get to 10. They can't get to the half.
They can't.
So they're done. State was 9.5. Well, that's true. They can get the win
in
the bowl or whatever they go.
No, I mean in the Big Ten
National championship
game. Is that considered regular season?
So they can. Penn State 9.5. They're 7-2.
They can still get it.
They have Rutgers, Nebraska, and then at Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So they're there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Illinois a 3.5. That was more of the underdog. Was the over 3.5. Obviously, they have Indiana, Ohio State, and then Northwestern to finish the season.
Yep. So I don't think that's happening.
I mean, Indiana. Oh, I don't know.
No, you said Illinois, right? Or was it Indiana? That
Indiana, Ohio State, and then Northwestern. But the team we're talking about is Illinois.
Yeah. No, I don't see that happening.
They might get a win against Indiana.
No.
Who knows?
No.
I don't know.
No. I already predicted. I already gave you my prediction. All Indiana right, I guess wins the last three.
Set in stone then.
It's locked in.
Indiana then 6, where they're over 6 is a minus 125, under 6, 105. You know, they have a good chance of getting it, but they got to win the last three to get to the 6, plus the bowl game. Iowa was only a 6.5 wins. The over was negative 140, and the under was plus 110. So they have a good shot at getting that easily. At Wisconsin, then Purdue at home, then at Nebraska. That's a toss-up at the very end. And then Wisconsin, 9.5, which, unless something crazy happens, they got that.
We'll take a break here in a moment, and we'll wrap up with winners and losers. Before we go to break, I want to ask you, Jay-Z, because you're a residential MMA guy. UFC 217 was yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
That was correct,
yep. Your thoughts on the returning GSP after a four-year layoff and submitting Michael Bisping?
So he gained, what, was it 15 pounds difference, 170, 185. He looked a little chubby at the weigh-ins, but not bad. Obviously, I think he, you know, once you weigh in early in the day, would have been, Saturday. No, because today is Sunday.
Today is Sunday.
Saturday was last night. So Friday when you weigh in. After that, you eat like crazy, miss.
Mm-hmm.
You gain sometimes 15, 20 pounds, and I think he did. Bisping was a little leaner at the weigh-ins. I believe it's Bisping's last fight. I just don't see him fighting as many more times after this. GSP is now the middleweight champion. First time I think there's ever been three belts change hands at UFC in an event. The biggest one, if you want to call it upset special, was Rose Namajunas beating Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She was 14-0. It was a plus 600, so it was $6 for every dollar you bet. If you would have put on Rose, Rose was able to finish her with a good hook to her face, send her down, and she wanted to actually beat Rose and then retire, breaking Ronda's record, and she's not able to do that.
Man.
So it's going to be very tough for her to, you know, when you have that already set in your head, like, all I got to do is win this fight and I'm going to retire as a champ and leave the belt. The only thing she can do is now come back and try to fight Rose again and try to get that belt back. But, yeah, there's also going to be that blemish on her record. So GSP, I didn't think he'd win it by a rear naked choke, which he did. But I guess, hey, you got to get the job done. I don't know how Bisping gave up his back. I didn't think he would. But obviously Bisping gets that loss on there, which I put it that way. So I had GSP, I had Joanna, and which I was wrong. And the third belt that was up for grabs was, it's TJ Dillashaw versus Cody. And I had Cody. I thought Cody would win it, even though I thought it was the closest matchup of the night going into it. And TJ was able, as they used to be friends, they used to be training partners. And then you saw him on the Tough, the Ultimate Fighter. And, well, TJ gets the W. And
that boy's good.
I think it will go back and forth for a couple years now between those two. I'm not saying there's no one that won't come up there and grab it, but I think it will be one of those where we'll see, like, the third, fourth, fifth, you know, that kind of fight until they both retire and somebody walks away with that belt.
Kiss the ring. Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll close the show out the way we always do with winners and losers.